Good morning. Married men, do you remember when you first got married? Back in the days when you actually opened the door for your wives? When you brought flowers? When you actually remembered to say, I love you? I hope so. It wouldn't hurt, probably the wives are saying, that you start doing those things again. I didn't say everybody, but I'm assuming many have. Should I ask the wives? I've been bringing a couple of sermons, my last two sermons. I'm trying to remind us as Christians that first love. The things that we were ready to do for Christ. The things that we took the time for to do for Christ. Sometimes that love is still there, it's just sometimes got buried under some other things. But Christ is the source of all spiritual blessings. Do I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Are we going to be selfish and keep these blessings for ourselves? Or are we going to try to keep them for ourselves? We need to take those out and share with the world the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of their very souls. My son this weekend, his team, well, they tied. But with that tie, they won the U13 placement. They're number one among the U13s. And he's excited. Today they get to go and collect their first place little trophies. We also have a trophy. And isn't it wonderful to have trophies? And our trophy is the crown of life. Eternity with God. And this blessing is found only in Jesus Christ. And I've been trying to stir up in you this excitement, this love, this need to share. Because didn't you want everybody to know, men, that you had loved your wives? Times when you actually walked hand in hand. Of course, Jerry may still do it. When you walked hand in hand down the street and proudly were showing off your wife. The same is with Jesus. Do you remember the day you were baptized? Most people do. They remember that day that they were baptized. I mean, I remember mine, but this, it was just yesterday. And I think I was 16 years old. So that's a long time ago. Not quite as long as it was for Charlie, but still a long time ago. That's right, you were 29, you said. That's still a long time ago, Charlie. But as we wake up and as we get excited again about being Christian, as we start sharing the Word of God, and Joe's back there, he's already putting his arm around his wife, so my sermon's already done some good. But as we start sharing the Word, sometimes the excitement can be squashed when we see no results. And Jesus told a parable, and we're going to be looking at some kingdom parables over the weeks to come. But Jesus told a parable to prepare the disciples for such disappointment. Because not everywhere you plant the seed of the gospel is it going to grow. And if we are not aware of this, we can be disappointed. I mean, Mari and I have a garden. I've never had a garden. Well, in the Boy Scouts, I had to grow corn once and got a merit badge. Otherwise, I've never really had a garden before. So, well, I should say Marian has a garden. I haven't done much, but maybe give water every once in a while. But what happens when the seed doesn't grow? Or, I mean, we've got tomatoes. We've got, what else have we got? Green peppers. We've got something else. Watermelon. I'm missing something. Cucumbers. And the cucumbers, they're kind of turning yellow, the plants. We don't know why. But not every time you plant a seed does it grow. I planted a lot of grass seed and some of it started growing in places. And you get kind of excited when you see something grow. But that you get disappointed when it doesn't grow. And so Jesus told this parable to help prepare disciples for disappointment, but also for the thrill of seeing the seed grow. The parable is actually found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Though I will read from Matthew chapter 13, first verses 3 through 9, and then the verses 18 through 23, as Jesus explains his parable. But first, Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Then Jesus used stories to teach them many things. He said, "A farmer went out to plant his seed. While he was planting, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it all up. Some seed fell on the rocky ground, where there wasn't much dirt. That seed grew very fast, because the ground was not deep. But when the sun rose, the plants dried up, because they did not have deep roots. Some other seed fell among the thorny weeds, which grew and choked the good plants. Some other seed fell on the good ground, where it grew and produced a crop. Some plants made 100 times more, some made 60 times more, and some made 30 times more. Let those with ears use them and listen." Then 18 through 23. So listen to the meaning of that story about the farmer. What is the seed that fell by the road? That seed is like the person who hears the message about the kingdom but does not understand it. The evil one comes and takes away what was planted in that person's heart. And what is the seed that fell on rocky ground? The seed is like the person who hears the teaching and quickly accepts it with joy. But he does not let the teaching go deep into his life, so he keeps it only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the teaching he accepted, he quickly gives it up. And what is the seed that fell among the thorny weeds? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching, but lets worries about this life and the temptation of wealth stop that teaching from growing. So the teaching does not produce fruit in that person's life. But what is the seed that fell on the good ground? That seed is like the person who hears the teaching and understands it. That person grows and produces fruit, sometimes 100 times more, sometimes 60 times more, and sometimes 30 times more. Had I read Mark's gospel, the parable begins and ends with the same word. Listen. Let those with ears use them and listen. We know that a teacher has great responsibility to teach the truth. But Jesus is letting us know that there is also a responsibility of listening. How many times have we half listened to our mate and only got half of what was said? I'm not even going to try because I don't know. But Jesus is letting us know listening is important. To properly listen, one must understand what is being spoken. Watch out how you hear is one of the key messages of this parable. And as we start teaching and reaching out with the gospel in Plymouth and in our neighborhoods, we need to realize, so we don't get discouraged, that there are various hearts, some ready for the gospel and some not ready for the gospel. There will be some growth, but not always growth. The sower. Who represents the sower in our story today? Well, yeah, whoever's sowing the seed. It could be God through us, just true. But the sower is represented by whoever is taking the gospel out and sowing it. So Ruth sows the seed when she sends out the World Bible School. Philip sows the seed when he talks to neighbors and invites them into church. Sowing the seed is done by Christians who believe the message that is being taught. So you see, it's important to believe the message, to believe that we have these spiritual blessings and that we want to share them. If you don't believe it, if there's no excitement, you're not going to do it. Garden work is hard work. Just ask my wife who does it. So the sower is the person that takes the message out. And what is the seed? The Word of God. Pure and simple, the Word of God. Luke says it in 8:11. This is what the story means. The seed is God's message. And everyone knows that seed is important. If I put out a thing of dirt here and I start waiting for a watermelon to grow, I'm going to be real disappointed, because first I got to put the watermelon seed in it. And then I've got to water it and some other things. But seed brings the life. Without seed, no growth. I don't know weeds. I don't know where the weeds come from, but I never plant weeds, but we get a lot more weeds than we do good plants. They seed themselves. But we see here, seed is important for life. And if you want spiritual life, you have to have the spiritual seed, the Word of God. And Jesus in this story assumes that the true seed is being planted here. Peter says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." 1 Peter 1:23. And believe me, pure seed planted in good ground results in one thing: Christians. But this story is also a story of human hearts, and the readiness and the preparedness of the heart for the seed of God. And we see these parables hinge upon four types of hearts, or four types of soil. And these soils are the human heart. The first seed we came across was the wayside ground. Now, to understand this, you got to realize that in Palestine, it may still be that way there, I haven't been there, so I don't know, most gardens were outside the gates. That's where you grew. And there were paths, and so everybody had their own little plot. Per family, you had your own plot. And no fences. And so they had walkways between the plots of land. And what happens when you walk over dirt long enough? Outside of Florida, the ground becomes hard. And so when you throw the seed, and I've still got it, Phil. I'll bring it back one day. I borrowed it from Phil, the cedar. You push it and the little seeds come flying out. Well, they didn't have those in Palestine days. They took the seed. What'd they do with it? They threw it. And when you throw seed, well, you can't exactly control very good where it always goes. And some seed landed on this hard ground, and it did not grow. Jesus said this was the heart that was closed by the enemy. The birds came and they ate the seeds because they were only laying on top. This could very well be the person, like the Pharisee, whose heart was closed because they already knew better, or thought they knew better. Their arrogance and pride brought them to ridicule and scorn the Word. Or maybe it was the heart closed by someone who thought this message fit somebody else, but not me. Instead of examining their own lives, the wayside ground was hard and not prepared for the seed, for whatever reason. Is the soil to blame because it is hard? Oh yes, if that soil is the heart. Sin is what sears the conscience and is what hardens the heart. Hebrews 3:13. but encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Sin is not doing the will of God. It is stepping on our heart or our conscience. Every time we do wrong, it's easier to do wrong the next time. And it hardens the heart when we do not do what we know we should be doing. And it hardens and sears the heart. Each refusal to do God's will is a hardening of the heart and will lead to death. And every individual is accountable for what he does with his life. The wayside ground, the wayside heart is a person who shuts his eyes and refuses to see. He shuts his ears and refuses to hear. But each person is the cultivator of his own heart. The second heart was the rocky ground. Now we shouldn't see a field full of rocks. That's not the thought here. The thought is, does anybody ever been to Texas and know what I mean when I say cap rock? If you're from Texas or ever been in Texas, Texans talk about this, are kind of proud of the fact that their ground is cap rock. That means you go down a certain way down and you're going to hit this hard rock. All you've got is the dirt that's on top of that cap rock. It could be a foot. Sometimes it could only be inches. And what happens when you plant seed in this? Well, the roots can't go very deep. Without roots, the plant can just barely live. And so what happens when the sun shines on these plants and dries up the water in that shallow ground? The plant dies. When we look at this, at the human heart, the problem is that the faith is shallow. So long as things go good, I'm a strong Christian. But when persecution comes, when things don't start working out like we had hoped, the faith dries up and the plant dies. And they find out that it is not always easy to be a Christian. They would rather give it up than to make the effort to dig deeper. That is the rocky ground. When faith dries up, when the going gets tough. The third heart condition was that of the thorny ground. This is the person who is so busy with other things that he cannot be busy for Christ. Life sometimes gets that way. It's amazing how quickly we get caught up in the things of life here upon the earth. Thorns grow up before we know it. I don't know if Charlie noticed, I've got half the hedge finished. Half the hedge has been dethorned, took all the weeds out. And the other half I haven't got to. It took me 3 hours to do that one half of the hedge. I haven't found the next 3 hours to do the other half of the hedge. So half of it's prepared and half of it's not. But sometimes things of life just get in the way. We get busy, not necessarily with bad things, but we get so busy and caught up in life that we forget Jesus Christ. We no longer have time or take the time for the spiritual things of God. We no longer make time for prayer. We no longer make time for Bible study. We no longer take time for quietude. Sometimes it's good just to get off somewhere quiet and contemplate the things of God, the spiritual side of our life. Our lives are cumbered by this and by that until there's no time to put God in our lives. We smother Him out. No matter how strong we think we are, we cannot serve two masters. We either serve this world or we serve God. No one can serve two masters. The person will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches. Matthew 6:24. What do you do with weeds? You dig them up by the roots. There's no other way to get rid of weeds, and even then they keep popping up. But that is what Christ demands of us. He demands us to weed out our garden, which is the heart. And we need to find that first love again, serving Jesus Christ. And then there was the good ground. The three gospel accounts of the good ground explain different aspects of that good ground. In Matthew, we read that seed is like the person who hears the teaching and understands it. That person grows and produces fruit. The thought included here is that he not only hears it, but he follows it from beginning to end. He does not stop thinking about it until he understands the message that God is trying to bring to him. In Mark 4:2, it says, they hear the teaching and accept it. Then they grow and produce fruit. Mark lets us know that it is important to accept the truth. Not only to be ready for it, but to accept it as being exactly that, the Word of God and not the words of men. So he takes it in and it becomes a part of his life. Luke puts it this way. It is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit. The good soil does not give harvest overnight. If I plant a seed, let's say I plant a corn seed, well, am I going to be able to eat corn tomorrow? I have to have patience and wait for that corn to grow. I have to wait for it not only to grow, but I have to wait for it to produce fruit. Some plants grow faster, some plants grow slower. I do not control how fast they grow or don't grow. So Luke teaches patience. When we as Christians start planting seeds, we're going to find these four hearts out there in the world. Some will reject it without even giving it the chance of hearing what you're trying to say. It'll be closed off immediately. Some will accept it so quick and then give them a few months and they'll be gone again. Some accept it and they live, but slowly the weeds come and they choke out the seed and the plant that is growing. And then we find every once in a while the good soil where a Christian is formed. But let us note, God expects growth. Sometimes 100%, sometimes 60%, or sometimes 30%. But God expects growth. Remember what Jesus told the church at Laodicea? I would that you be either hot or cold. If you're lauwarm, I'm going to spit you out. As we take the gospel out, we're going to find out that gimmicks aren't going to bring people to Christ. Special shows are not going to bring people to Christ. Schemes are not going to bring people to Christ. The word being taught pure will bring people to Christ, because that is the seed. And they're going to be watching us as Christians. We are not only sowing, but people are watching us to see how we live. If we can't live as Christians, we can't expect them to, can we? And people are going to see the hypocrisy in our lives. But God expects growth. He expects the seed to be sowed. And He expects the seed to be the pure Word of God. But we should not be discouraged as we are sowing the seed. Because Jesus warned us many times that not everybody will accept the gospel of Christ. Matthew 7:14. But the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to true life. Only a few people find that road. So as we begin to spread the seed, remember, some hearts are going to be hard and closed. Some will accept the faith quickly and give it up just as quick. Not many, says Jesus, will find the road that leads to life. But our job is to sow the seed. And I'm hoping that we will get excited about this, bringing people to Christ. Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is the one who made it grow. So the one who plants is not important, and the one who waters is not important. Only God who makes things grow is important. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose, and each will be rewarded for his own work. We are God's workers working together. You are like God's farm, God's house. In the end, God gives the increase. Do we know why plants grow when we put them in the ground? We don't. But we trust that it happens. Just like the sowing the seed of the kingdom, we plant and water, but in the end it is God who gives the increase. I like what Solomon said in Proverbs 2:4. In talking about God's truth, he says this, search for it like silver, hunt for it like hidden treasures. The people who seek will find. Let us pray that the hearts be ready for the seed that we are going to sow. But what kind of ground is represented in your hearts this morning? Is it possible that your heart has grown hard and not producing fruit? Could it be that your faith is based more on emotion than convictions and you give up too easily? Could it be that so many things fill your life that you have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you waiting patiently that you produce fruit? Because God expects fruit in your lives. What is your heart like? Think about it. And if you need help this morning with prayer, or if you want to accept the Word of God and make Jesus King of your lives, then come forward and we'll baptize you, washing away your sins, that you too can have eternal salvation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?